Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird speaking. Today on the broadcast, we're going to continue with our series of studies on the miracles of the Lord. They're most interesting, and they carry with them great spiritual meaning, as well as the physical benefits that were derived from these people who met the Lord in their need. And today, we're going to talk about the healing of a palsied or paralyzed man, and it's found in Mark chapter 2. And we would invite you to follow along in your Bibles as we read about this man. You will notice in the series of meetings that we're having on the series of broadcasts we're having on the miracles of the Lord, so many of them occur from Mark's Gospel. There's a reason for that. Of the four Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Matthew wrote, a Jewish man, an intensely Jewish man, wrote of the Lord Jesus Christ as the coming King. Mark wrote of him as the perfect servant. And Luke wrote of him as the Son of Man. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and 10. And then John wrote of him as the Son of God. We see a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus in the four Gospels as they are presented to us. Now, in the Gospel according to St. Mark, he's presented as the perfect servant. And he served the people even to performing the miracles. And you'll find that Mark, I believe, has the greatest number of miracles. And they're most unusual. And they're interesting, intensely interesting. Now, in chapter 2 of the book of Mark, we read these words. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this wise, on this fashion. We never saw it on this fashion. They did not realize the power of the Lord Jesus. Now, let's think of this chapter and expand upon it. The gathering was at the house in Capernaum. That was the Lord's hometown, so that the Lord could preach the word. We read that the emphasis is on the preaching of the word. In chapter 2, verse 2, we read, The straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. Now the miracles in the scripture as they are recorded in the Gospels are only incidental to his teachings. The miracles showed who he was. But the important thing was his teaching. For instance, the Sermon on the Mount and the parables of the kingdom are the extreme examples of the teaching of the Lord And it has been well said that the Sermon on the Mount is the greatest English prose that was ever written. He was a teacher. He challenged people's thinking. But he performed miracles, and indeed they were incidental to his teaching. He wanted them to reveal God to them. And the Word of God does have that effect in reaching you and me. We are given the Word of God, and it is a treasure indeed. A wonderful gift without measure. It's the treasure of God, and we have it. God's mind revealed to you and me how God feels about things. And Christ was interested in preaching the Word, and he was the greatest of all teachers. And certainly, Nicodemus realized this as he comes to the Lord in the third chapter of John, verse 1. We read there, you need not turn to it. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, Nicodemus has this in the right order. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. That's the priority of his thinking. That's number one in his thoughts. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. It's incidental. His teachings were the wonderful truths that he was trying to bring out before these people. Now, this house was very, very crowded. And there were four friends that brought this palsied man to the Lord on his bed. They used his bed as a stretcher. And they brought it to the door, but they couldn't get in. And the people would not move out of the way. And these men are heroic in their efforts to get this man to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to give these four men names: faith, hope, love, and perseverance. They would not give up. And they went up on the roof to the place over where the Lord was teaching, and they tore up the roof. And they let this man down through the roof with ropes into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the faith of these men, the love of these men, the patience of these men. They wanted to see their friend healed of the palsy. And the Lord honors their faith. The Lord meets the man's spiritual need first. He says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now you remember that we read that he did perform a miracle and healed him of his palsy. But here, first things first, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. The need of his soul far exceeded the need of his body. And they didn't realize that. He looked like a very God-fearing man, I suppose, their friend. But he had a need. He had the need of his sins being unforgiven. And the Lord Jesus says, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. You know those scribes that were sitting there, verses 6 and 7 we read, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? They made a mistake. They didn't realize the Lord Jesus Christ was God. He was God manifest in human flesh. He had the right to say to this man, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Because he was God. And he died for this man's sins. He had a right to say, thy sins be forgiven thee. The scribes didn't realize that. Their ignorance was so great that they just missed the Lord Jesus and his wonderful, wonderful power. And so the Lord answers their challenge. And he brings before these scribes and Pharisees an example of pure logic. Let's read it. Verses 8 and 9. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed, and walk. Well, they must have reasoned. Both are impossible. If he can do the one, he can do the other. And so what did he do? He did that which was visible to reach their minds about that which was, which they couldn't understand, that he would say, forgive the man's sins. They just thought of him as an ordinary person. This was God manifest in human flesh that was come into this world to die on the cross to take away your sins and my sins. Now the Lord does the visible impossibility to prove that he could do the invisible. That's the point in the miracle. It was incidental to the man's healings. Now I know it would seem that I am talking down the miracles, that I am ruining my own purpose in dealing with these wonderful miracles. But let's get past the miracle to the truths that they taught. And certainly here is this man, and he needs to be healed, certainly. And so the Lord indeed says to these men, why reason these things in your heart? Why is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, I send thee, forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk? And listen, please. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Now the Lord was in control of the situation. And the Lord does still forgive sins today. Why does he say forgive? Why does he say through his word that our sins are forgiven? So we will put our trust in him, believe him. Christ died for my sins on the cross of Calvary. Everything that I should have received by way of judgment, he took it there for me. And now the word of God tells me my sins are forgiven. The Lord Jesus told this man audibly and in his own presence, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But now he tells that through the word of God. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Well, that's in Mark, that's Romans chapter 5. Christ died for the ungodly. And Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The word of God, just as the Lord was teaching the word, we should emphasize the fact of the word of God that our sins' debt is paid. Now, I'm going to ask a question before we close the broadcast. Has the word ever told you that your sins are forgiven because God loved you and gave his son to die for them? That's a wonderful message. Our Father, today we thank you for the word of God as the Lord taught it and as we have it in our hands to teach it to. May it perform its wonderful miracles in the soul. We pray in Christ's name, giving thanks. Amen.